Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. This is your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Did you ever hear the expression, a cluttered house, a cluttered mind, a tidy house, a tidy mind, or a peaceful house, a peaceful mind? I have really found that my house reflects what's going on in my mind. It is so amazing how closely related that those two things can be. And today we're going to talk to an expert that deals with this all the time. Her name is Allison Kiro, and she is the CEO of ACK Organizing, which provides professional organizing and clutter cleaning. And she's located in New York City. And Allison's going to tell you why she started this business and explain to you why it's so important to be organized in your life. So let's get started. I'll introduce you to our special guest. Good morning, Allison.
Oh, good morning, Randy. I'm so excited to be here today. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show.
Thank you for being my guest. I really appreciate that. So let's, like I said, let's start off talking about how did you start with this? How did you get into this business?
Yeah, in kind of a weird roundabout way, I majored in history and in college and then really just got out into the association sector and then moved into banking and just realized that working for other people wasn't for me. So in 2004, I started my first business, but it was called Gotham Concierge. So it was partly helping out busy people and partly trying to help them get organized. And I ran that business for about 6 years and then moved out to Colorado, had another business, and moved back to New York in 2010 and just sort of took some time to sort through what I really loved about my first two businesses and what things really didn't work out so well. And that's how I formed ACK Organizing, because I realized I love helping people get and stay organized, because it's such a freeing thing when you are finally in control of your entire life. And by really understanding what you have and why, it's one great way for you to have control over your life, empower yourself, and start learning how to make good decisions. But I didn't want to do it the regular way, which is to go into somebody's home or business and work with them, because I found that a lot of times they wouldn't focus, or they couldn't focus, or they'd be so concerned about whether or not I liked something, not whether they liked something, or about what was happening and it was so chaotic for them that they really weren't learning the process as well as I would have liked them to. And so I actually started offering it on Skype or phone, whatever way to do it remotely, so that I could A, help a larger group, and B, teach people these life skills, because there's five life skills that you learn in this process and you build them up that help you really gain the life that you want. It helps you become happier, it helps you become healthier, and it helps you become more productive. And, you know, the more that I do this process for myself, the happier, healthier, more productive I feel. And I just wanted to go out and share this with as many people who were open to realizing the dramatic effects that clutter can really have in your life, and the wonderful spaces and opportunities that open up when you start taking a look at what you have in your life, why you have it in your life, and letting go of the things that hold no true value to you, so that you get to the bottom of the clutter and you find out who you truly are.
Wow. Well, that makes a lot of sense. So you said there's five steps. What are those five steps?
Okay, so the first thing you need to know is, what are your priorities? What really holds meaning and value to you? Your health, your family, your career. Then based on those priorities, you start setting healthy boundaries to help you focus, keep and stay focused on getting to that goal, on reaching those priorities, and on maintaining them as well. That leads you to start making some self-love-based decisions. In other words, choosing what's best for you in each moment so that you can reach those priorities and you use those boundaries to help you get there and make those good decisions. Along the way, you're going to start learning how to identify and create systems, because the more systems you put into your life, easier things become. And these aren't difficult systems. These are easy systems. So the more that you can learn how to do them yourself, all of a sudden there's more flow and you're spending less time doing the same things over and over again, and you can focus on other things. And then the last thing is learning how to build up your emotional intelligence and your intuition, because the more that you can rely on the truth of knowing what you want, because your inner guidance is telling you, the better life becomes for you. And we all end up winning when we start using all of these life skills, because you can utilize them not just in getting and staying organized, but in literally every single aspect of your life, whether it's wanting to lose weight, wanting to have better relationships, wanting to further your career. If you use those five life skills, and the more you use them, the more that you build up on them and become better and more confident in using them, the easier life becomes.
Okay, that's great. I think we've all seen the show Hoarders. I'm sure this comes up every time that you do a show or talk about this. But that is such a hard thing for people to break. Why do they become hoarders? What is that all about?
Honestly, in my experience, I've found that people have experienced some sort of trauma or many traumas that they were never given the skills and the tools to be able to help themselves let go of those traumatic times. And so they start, in some ways it's a controlling thing. The only thing they feel they can control in their lives are, you know, the things that they bring into it, the tangible stuff. And so they'll bring home stuff, and then they'll attach sentimental memories to them or emotional attachments to them. So you see a gross piece of paper and they're like, oh, but that one time that this happened, and I just can't let that go. And so they really just, they need to control everything to the point where they cannot let go of anything. And at that point, you're really struggling with not just physical, but emotional and spiritual clutter, to the point where I usually recommend that a person who's a hoarder, who really wants to start getting help, not only should you choosy starting to work with a professional organizer to learn these tools, because you obviously haven't learned those skills and tools yet, but also to start working with a therapist of your choice, because together that's going to help you start letting go of everything that doesn't serve you any longer. But it's a long process, and hoarding isn't something that just happens overnight. This is a process that takes years and years and years to build up to, and when you don't catch it before it becomes a problem, then yeah, it turns into a huge problem, just like a lot of other illnesses or diseases out there that people struggle with, where, you know, like alcoholism. That becomes a slippery slope if you don't catch yourself in time, and if you don't, then you have a major problem on your hands that you need the help and the skills and the tools to get yourself out of that problem. Same thing with hoarding. It just becomes such a problem that they don't know how to ask for help, because they probably haven't felt supported in their lives to begin with.
Wow, that's so sad, but it's good to know that people can overcome that. You know, I found I moved from Baltimore to South Florida, and I moved from an area where houses had basements to an area where there are no basements. And so I had to learn to live with less, whereas I, you know, I might have found myself looking for knickknacks all the time and, you know, adding them and this and that. I can't do that because I only have so much room here. And I have a big house, but still, once I set it all up, I kind of had to leave it. So does space, the amount of space you have, limit, help you limit how much you're going to clutter?
Well, if you go in with the mindset that you went into doing your new house, Randy, then yes. But, you know, storage facilities have popped up all over the country, and they're making great money, because what a wonderful thing. You dump your stuff there, and then you just keep paying a monthly fee, and half the people, you know, just use it as a dumping ground. So I always recommend, you know, keep the amount of stuff that you have the space for. You know, there are certain situations where I really feel that, yes, storage will help, but I've had clients where they kept that stuff in storage for 12 years. I mean, can you imagine how much money you would have saved if you had just gone through it and gotten rid of it after the first year? You know, that's 12 years of a lot of money that could have been spent in other ways rather than stuff sitting in a storage facility gathering dust. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's so much easier to live with the space that you have versus trying to cling on to stuff that, you know, out of sight, out of mind, you're probably not even going to remember you own it half the time anyway.
Right. And after a certain amount of years, things change, styles change, furniture changes. You know, you're going to want different things. You're not going to want the old stuff.
Needs change, too. I mean, you know, you have a different point in your life where, you know, maybe you were cooking a lot at one point, and then all of a sudden you're not. So do you really need half of those tools that you were using before when you're not using them now? So, yeah, sorry to interrupt.
No, that's true. That's true. That's a good point. You know, I found that a lot of elderly people who grew up in the Great Depression have a really hard time letting go of things, because they couldn't get things back then. It was so hard to obtain these things that they wanted that they have a really hard time letting go of them. So have you worked with anybody that had that kind of mentality?
Oh, yes, definitely. And that's a trauma that I'm talking about. That was a traumatizing experience for them. That even that happened in what, the 1930s? So that's been more than 80 years ago, and yet that trauma has stayed with them throughout the years. And actually, now scientists are finding out that traumatic events can be passed down from relative to relative, so that, you know, their daughter and their daughter's daughter could also be inheriting this fear in a traumatic event if the person hasn't found a way to let it go. But, yeah, I mean, I've worked with clients where her husband had died 20 years earlier, and she was terrified to let go of their financial records, because she figured, hey, if I get rid of them, the IRS is going to be beating down my back, you know, the second I get rid of them. And they were sitting in a closet, and they were actually, they had mold and mildew because of water damage. But she was terrified that the moment she let go of any of that stuff, something was bad was going to happen. I mean, these were old checks, statements, and it was taking up a lot of space in her home to the point where she wasn't living in a healthy environment any longer. I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg of the things that I saw, but it can be fairly common if that traumatic event, if they didn't allow themselves to process it and let it go.
What do you tell people who have lost a loved one? You know, that sort of triggered this thought. People who have lost a loved one and can't bear to give those things away because they sort of think it's a guilt feeling that if they give those things away, it's as if they don't care about that person anymore. So what do you tell people who are going through that?
Well, first of all, grief is a process that is individual to every single human being. Some people are going to be ready to get rid of the things quickly. Other people are going to take a long time. I know one widow, it took her 10 years before she was finally able to get rid of the things in her closet. So first of all, don't beat yourself up because somebody else has given you a timeline. The other thing is, you know, one piece of advice, take this thing or the few items, maybe, you know, five items that really meant the most to you, that are filled with the happiest memories, and then choose to let the rest go and put those happy memories around your home so that they're great reminders of you, of your time in your life with your loved one. But keeping all of it, I think, can be a slippery slope because it can hold you in that grief for a lot longer than you may need to be in. But again, that's an individual case, and usually by talking to the person, I can gather how ready they are to let go of items, and then we go through and we pick the ones that have that meaning so that they can then go through the process one shirt at a time, one item at a time, and just give themselves the time to let it go. And that's the thing about decluttering, is this process allows you to process those emotions as you're going through it, and just, you know, maybe taking that shirt that you saw your husband or wife wear so often and having a moment with it and just being like, thank you so much for making my spouse look wonderful and for the happy memories that we had because, you know, this shirt was around. But I'm going to let it go, and I'm going to let other people have happy memories with that shirt. But you need to take the time to let it go, and it can be a process for you.
Right, right. You know, we see – I used to watch Hoarders. I mean, it's just so fascinating. I used to watch it until it finally got me kind of upset because you get very frustrated with these people. But I've noticed that, you know, they have a really hard time letting things go. But once they see their environment organized, something changes within them, and they're ready to make that change. So is seeing, believing, you know, with people that are having a difficult time to make these changes?
Sometimes in those shows, I really want to know, what does your home look like 6 months after they left? Because a lot of times people will revert back to it because, A, the changes that were made were really too quick for them. So think about it this way. You know when people get lap band surgery and then they somehow manage to gain the weight back again? It's because they weren't mentally prepared to do it, right? So if you're not mentally prepared to start letting go and making changes, yeah, you're going to revert right back to where you were no matter what. But if you are ready to create that change, and some people can do a really big, quick change, and other people need to take baby steps to get to the same place, really depends on the person. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes it can be really great, and other times I just wonder, you know, did these people, after the support left and after, you know, everybody helping you is gone and you're left to your own devices, were you provided with enough tools and skills to be able to continue this on your own? Some people I'd say yes, they can, and other people no, because they didn't learn the skills. So how can you continue doing it when you don't know what you're doing to begin with?
Right, absolutely. So do you work with people on a psychological or emotional level as well as, I mean, I guess that's really part of the process. It has to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, everything you decide, because organizing is really just deciding, do I want to keep this or not? And where do I want to keep this, or, you know? I'm sorry, what was the question again?
I'm sorry. The question was that since getting over this, or, you know, healing from these problems or changing this, your patterns,
oh, right,
or whatever,
emotional.
Is an emotional,
yeah,
or psychological issue. Do you work with people, yeah, on that level?
Yes, because that's the thing is you are choosing all of your decisions based on the emotions that you have. And so when you're gathering a lot of things, a lot of clutter, a lot of the times you're choosing to keep things based on decisions that you made from fear, from shame, and from guilt. You know, like that dress you've had in your closet for 10 years, and you're like, well, it fit once, but maybe I'll get back into it again, and I'm going to keep it as motivation. Now, I don't know anyone who actually uses shame as a motivation where it works and it lasts. And so I want to help people learn, A, what is it about this shirt or whatever belonging it is that you have in your hand? How do you really truly feel about it? You know, because once you get in touch with your feelings, that's going to help you become a better decision maker. But, yeah, I mean, you are choosing every decision that you make based on an emotion. And if you want to, you can change your life when you learn how to make the decisions based on love and joy and freedom versus fear and guilt and shame. And you see the people who are making those choices, the love and the joy, because they lead happy, healthy, productive lives. They're getting a lot of things done. And then you see the people who are choosing out of fear and out of shame and out of guilt, and they've got a boatload of problems. So the more that we can learn how to make those better choices, those love-based decisions, it frees us up, because it's not just the physical clutter. I take you through the physical clutter, but then you can easily transfer the same process to figure out how to navigate your emotional clutter as well.
Okay, so what would some examples of emotional clutter be? What would that look like to someone?
Okay, say you bought golf clubs 2 years ago, and you've never used them, and they're sitting in the corner gathering dust. And you look at them, and you're like, oh, man, that was a lot of money. And then you don't really do anything with them. It's not like you're going to go play golf, but yet you don't get rid of them or sell them or give them to a friend or whatever. And so that's just sort of like guilt and shame of, I spent too much money, I didn't make a good decision, and I don't know what to do with it because now I'm just embarrassed. And so I'll hold on to it, hoping that someday I'll justify it to myself and start using them. So that's one case right there. I just mentioned the holding on to clothing so you can shame yourself back into losing some weight. That's never going to work for you. Any time that you're keeping an outfit that you're like, well, I don't really like it, but the next time I go out, maybe I'll wear it, knowing deep down that you don't like it and you want to buy something new, that to me is like you're putting like chains on yourself of, no, you have to stay the same, versus I want to buy something new because I'm changing and I'm growing. So I think a lot of times we're not even aware of what our decision process is really telling us about who we are and how we feel about ourselves. Because when you look into somebody's closet and you see a boatload of stuff, but none of it's really great or nice or well kept, that to me says, I don't think I'm worthy of wearing beautiful clothes that make me look and feel as amazing as I am on the inside. And instead, I've held on to stuff that is ill-fitting, and that's a decision-making process of, how do I go through when I'm shopping and buy the right things that I know are going to last and that I know are going to continue to look great on me. And it's really representative of how do I feel about myself on the inner side, showing out on the outside. And that's to most people, that's your emotion showing out on the outside. It starts with spiritual clutter. When you don't fix that, you get the emotional clutter. And when you don't fix that, it starts coming out as physical clutter of, I don't know how to make a good decision. I don't feel good about myself. I don't deserve to look and feel my best. I'm going to keep all of this information because I feel guilty and I feel bad about not finishing it or not reading it. I don't follow through on things. So these are all little mental things that we tell ourselves of I'm not good enough. And the more that we have all of that stuff around in our house, they're just daily visual reminders of I don't make good decisions. I'm not a good shopper. I don't deserve to wear nice clothes. I don't deserve to have nice things. I don't deserve to free myself of this emotional and mental clutter. So, you know, it can go on and on and on if we're not careful.
Yeah, and as you're talking, you know, I keep visualizing this one outfit in my closet, and I wore it a couple years ago, and I was at the smallest size I've been in a really long time, you know, and then after that I gained some weight, and I couldn't fit into it and everything, but I'm keeping it because, you know, I think, well, you know, I should really get back to that size, but it bothers me. It really does bother me that it's there and I can't fit into it. So, actually, after talking to you, I think I'm going to get rid of that outfit because it's making me feel bad about who I am, and I really can see that. That thing's just jumping right out at me. I see it. I visualize it. It's crazy.
Yeah, and that's telling you you're never going to be good enough. That was when you were perfect in your life because you were a certain way. And, Randy, what a horrible thing to tell yourself that you're not enough because you can't get into that dress. When you probably look amazing in every other outfit you have that fits your body the way your body is now. And bodies grow and bodies change, and sometimes our weight fluctuates. And I think that the more that we just allow and accept it as this is where I am now, whether that's walking into your own space of clutter or looking into the mirror at your body and going, this is where I am now, not judging it, not putting that shame, blame, or guilt on yourself, but just accepting it and becoming aware of it, that's giving ourselves permission to start letting it go. And sometimes the weight will go, and sometimes it won't. But I feel like your body's where it's supposed to be right now, and that's okay. But the more that you have that guilty little you're not good enough dress in your closet, the worse you're going to feel. So, yeah, even if you're not looking at it directly every day, that's still, it's in your space. And if it's in your space, it's in your head. I had one person who's extremely neat, I mean, ridiculously clean, and she said to me, you know, I felt inspired that you finally let go. It was a piece of paper that I think was the paperwork or the title to property that her ex-husband of now 30 years owned. And she finally gave it back to her son to give to him. And I can't even tell you how many things have opened up to her since she got rid of that one stupid piece of paper. It was, you know, I mean, taking up space, it was not, but mentally, it was taking up a lot of space. So, I mean, seriously, even getting rid of small, tiny things that you think don't really make a big difference can. I mean, for me, when I finally went through the process and went through my photos, I was like, why am I keeping half of these things? And I got rid of them, and they made me feel so much better. Do I go and look at my photos all the time now? No, but at least I know that I want to look at the ones that I do have instead of having other reminders of why did I keep that. So
I think we all have that. Yeah, we all accumulate photos, and we're afraid to lose, you know, to put that to rest, put that to bed. So we've talked about a lot of things, Allison. And just for my listeners, we're talking to Allison Kira today, who is a professional organizer and the CEO of ACK Organizing. So, Allison, what else is important for us to know?
You know, I really feel like this process teaches you how to live a more authentic life, and I think that that's really something that we could all use more of. The more that we choose for ourselves, for our best and highest good, it allows other people to have the permission to do the same. And I really just recommend to everyone that if they're going to go through this process, even if they're really well organized, I feel like, you know, at least once a year, the process of going through everything you own is a wonderful exercise, not only to gain awareness of, oh yes, this is what I have, and this is where it's being kept, so that you can find everything quickly. But it's also a great assessment of, this is who I am now, because you are growing and you are changing. And so maybe a book that you loved 10 years ago isn't a book that represents you anymore, and it's time for you to let that go so that you can allow in new things, new experiences. But the more and the harder you hold on to the past, that's what's going to keep happening. The past is just going to keep coming again and again and again, and there's not going to be any new change or any new growth. And the more that you allow yourself to let go of that clutter, to open up a space to give yourself new things, new opportunities, and new ideas, trust me, you feel more empowered, you have more time, you have more energy, and you feel happier because you're coming from a space of authenticity. And that's the one great thing I love about decluttering, is you end up with the real you at the end of it. And sometimes that can be a really wonderful, eye-opening experience for the person going through it. Oh, my God, I really love sociology. That's why I have all these books. You know, it can really be telling of, oh, green looks great on me, and now that I've gotten rid of all the stuff in my closet that doesn't look good, now I have a better idea of how to shop smarter for myself. So I'm picking up clothing I love and I can wear 20, 30 times before I'm ready to let go of it. So don't be afraid of the process. A lot of times people stop before they start because they feel so overwhelmed and they're thinking about the end result and, oh my God, how am I going to get there? I don't even know where to start. You start with one thing. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You pick up one item. You make a decision. You decide where you want to put it. Then you pick up the next item. And it really just goes one thing at a time, because organizing is a process you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. So the more that you build up these skill sets, the easier your entire life can be. So, you know, even if you have a lot of clutter, 15 minutes a day will start transforming your life and helping you feel more empowered, because that's the one place you do have control over, your own stuff. You get to choose whether or not to keep it. So if you're feeling powerless, the great way to gain that power back is to start taking control of your own stuff.
Yeah. You know, and I wonder if a lot of people have regrets after they let things go, because I know for me it's a very freeing thing. Like you said, I think every 6 months I go through my closet and I go, all right, haven't worn that in 5 years, time to let it go. Or that's looking kind of shabby, I could find something new. And what I do is I put it in a bag and I put it in my trunk. I get it out of my house and into my trunk till I'm ready to take it to Goodwill or, you know, or Salvation Army or wherever I'm going to donate it. And it feels so good to get rid of those things. But at first it's like, oh, gosh, you know, should I, shouldn't I, shouldn't. But once you make the decision, it is very freeing. Do some people have regrets after they let these things go?
Oh, I've had people go through their own trash afterwards. Yeah, but that's fear. That's fear telling you you don't know how to make a good decision for yourself. So, and a lot of times what I tell people through the process is your initial response to do I like this or not is usually the truthful one. What happens next is your ego comes in, who wants to keep you safe and put you in the same spot, or keep you in the same spot, says, no, you can use this, don't get rid of it. But that's not the empowerment coming out and talking. That's just the fear. So if you're really ready to let stuff go, you know, let the fear go and trust that something even better is on its way to come to you. And most things can be replaced. You may not find the exact same pair of jeans, but maybe you'll find a better pair.
Right. That is true. That is true. So a lot of this is really about what we talk about as living in the moment, you know, accepting what is now, who you are now, what you have now, what you're going through now. And I guess some people are trying to live in the moment and are so saddled with things from the past that they're having a hard time doing that. So I think this is a great way to for people who are trying to live in the moment to get there.
And for those people who are really scared about the process, So if you do it in smaller increments, it's going to be less difficult for you. So again, even if you just do 15 minutes a day, you know, tackling one category at a time, you're going to start noticing changes, but they're not going to be as dramatic and as fearful as if you decide to have, you know, to tackle your entire space within one day. You just have to know, how big of a change am I ready to make at this point? And you can take baby steps or you can take giant leaps, but it depends on your comfort level and what you are ready for. And that's why I love this process too, because it helps you get in touch with that and realize that either decision is okay and that you are okay just as you are now, even if you have a boatload of clutter. Because that's the thing, is most people who have a lot of clutter, they feel horrible about it and they're embarrassed, but forget it. You know, everybody has their own issues. You just happen to have a lot of clutter. It's not something that you won't be able to learn or deal with. And you just do it with, like everything else, one day at a time, one step at a time, one decision at a time. And the more that you get used to making decisions, the easier it becomes for you.
Now, there are some pathological or medical conditions that cause people to be OCD and things like that, to have trouble with decision-making and those kind of things. When you deal with somebody like that, do you recommend that they get that emotional support or maybe the medication they need or whatever to help them through that before trying to tackle something that is really not going to work with the chemistry of their brain?
Yeah, well, and that depends on the situation of how ready are they to start creating these changes and what other kind of support do they have in their life. Because if you're going to create these big changes and you're feeling unsupported, sometimes it is really, really difficult. So the more support you can add to it, the easier the process is going to be. But that's why I help you figure out what your priorities are and then help you set up healthy boundaries so that you have a good guideline for yourself of, okay, in this situation, yes, I can keep this. But no, I can't keep this because I've set up these boundaries and this thing is not within those boundaries any longer. And so that helps you build up your decision-making process because you know what you want the end result to look like and you set up these boundaries so that you can keep yourself within them and stay on task and stay focused. Because a lot of times these people really struggle, especially with the clutter around them. I mean, that just exacerbates the inability to focus on anything. I mean, my God, clutter's a great distraction. So once you set up those healthy boundaries, that helps you eliminate those distractions and make better decisions.
Now, when you talk about boundaries, are you talking about focusing on end goals? Is that kind of how you're defining boundaries? Because I know how I define it when I work with my clients. How do you define boundaries in this kind of situation?
Well, it depends. I mean, one boundary could be how much space do I have? You know, maybe you only have enough space to keep 10 shirts and 10 pair of pants. So that's one boundary that can be imposed. Another boundary can be the quality of the items, because especially if you've gotten into a really bad hoarding situation, oftentimes the quality of items they're bringing into their homes are not really top-notch. That's not always the case, but in a lot of cases it is. And so that's another boundary that we set of what is the quality of this? Or maybe it's a timeline of when's the last time that I wore this? If it's 2 years or more, I know that this is something that I have to let go of. You know, maybe it's just a simple one of orange does not bring out the best in you. It does not show off the greatness of you. So boundary is no more orange, you know, and it really just depends on the individuals. But you can set up really simple boundaries. They're going to help you stay on task and make the right decisions so you end up with everything that you really do like, and trusting that the decision to let the other stuff go was based on, you know, real criteria that makes sense to you in your life.
Do you have people sort of think out and write out these boundaries so that they can refer to them? How do you suggest
a lot of times, yeah. Sorry, keep going.
Yeah, that's basically what I wanted to say.
Okay, yeah. I mean, a lot of times, you know, if it's a really difficult person who's really struggling, yeah, I mean, what I'll end up, you know, writing down instructions on what their next steps should be so they have an understanding of here's what I need to do and here's how this process is going to work for me. So I'm helping people set up systems for themselves so that they can stay within those boundaries. And I'm helping them set up really simple systems so that they can stay within those boundaries and keep moving forward. Those systems are designed to help you move forward and not get stuck. But we also have to figure out, you know, what are the blocks that you have in your life right now? Are they physical? Are they mental? Is there a combination of the two? What's stopping you from achieving what you so desperately want to achieve in your life? And once we've identified all of that, then we can open up a path that works for the individual.
Okay, makes sense. Your website is ackorganizing.com. And what is the best way for people to reach you? And so obviously you do this remotely through Skype to help people. You also do it over the telephone or just through Skype?
Skype, telephone. I've done FaceTime before. If somebody else has a different way of you know, reaching out to me, that's great. If you are in New York, I will take on certain candidates to work directly with them in their home, but not very often because a lot of times I feel that you learn the process when you're doing it yourself a lot more easily than you do if someone's sort of doing it for you. So I don't want to take that gift away from somebody else.
Okay. So, all right. And so they can reach you by going to your website, or do you have an email that you want to offer or anything like that for people to contact you?
Sure. Yeah, you know, all of my contact information is on my website, but my email address is akero314@gmail.com, and my phone number is 646-831-9625.
Okay. Well, this is a great service, and thank you so much for sharing these tips with people. I think you're going to spark a lot of interest in my listeners today because, listen, we all have areas where we could really reduce our clutter. And, you know, even, you know, when I thought about doing this show, I'm thinking, well, you know, this is a really cool topic. It's not one that relates to me, but now I find that it really does. And that will help me rethink my environment and the things that I want to let go of. So thank you for that. That's great. We can all learn from this. And it's really been wonderful talking to you. So I appreciate you being my guest today. Thank you, Allison.
Oh, thank you, Randy. I really appreciate it. I had a wonderful time. And let me just share with you, when I developed this process, I gained so much out of it. And I didn't think I had anything left to give away. So, I mean, really, it is just freeing. And I keep doing it because every day in my life, I'll find new clutter that I get rid of. So the more that you use it, the easier and more better life gets. So thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Okay. You are very welcome. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show or any other shows, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. This is talk radio show host Randy Fine, author, life issues counselor, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.
together.